We'd love you back, and we certainly thankful for all that is here and the rest that is coming. We just like to begin by singing, "Great is thy faithfulness, O God, my Father." Truly, I believe that he's faithful unto us, succeeding the only believe books. That's why we are assembled. That's why we have the confidence we have. Because we know it's not so much our faithfulness, but his faithfulness towards us. Let's just really enter into a spirit of worship and really sing. And you help me by the grace of God, just amen, to start the song right, so I won't be the stumbling block here, amen. I just trying by the grace of God. Great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. There is no shadow, there is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not, thy compassions, passions they fail not, as thou hast been, as thou hast been, now forever will be. Oh, great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Is thy faithfulness, Lord? Great is thy faithfulness. All around to me. Oh, summer and winter, summer and winter, and springtime and harvest. Springtime and harvest, sun, moon, and stars, sun, moon, and stars. Yeah. Oh, seas above, join with all nature. All nature in manifold witness to thy great faithfulness, mercy and love. Oh, let's lift our hands, Simon. Sing it, great is thy faithfulness. Great. Truly, we have seen that in our lives. Oh, let us just worship him.
Great is thy faithfulness. Morning by
oh. Oh, yes, the great Jehovah Jireh.
Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me.
Pardon for sin and a peace that endure it.
Pardon for sin.
Thine own dear presence today.
Thine own dear presence to cheer and to guide.
Strength for today.
Strength for today. And bright
blessings all mine.
Blessings all mine. With 10,000 peace.
And everyone singing and worshiping him.
Great is thy faithfulness.
Even this morning,
new mercies I see. All I have needed, thine hand has provided.
Let's bow our heads, close our eyes. He's faithful. He's true to every word. He never breaks or fails to keep his word. Hallelujah. Blessed be his wonderful name. We just want to call Brother Narayan to open the service with a word of prayer. Ask God's blessing upon our gathering. And have his own way amongst us today.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Heavenly Father.
Thank you, Lord.
Lord, our hearts, our soul, and our minds.
Thank you, Jesus.
Are resting, Lord, upon you. Father, we are so grateful that you have gathered us together this day. Lord, we come with hungry hearts waiting for that which you have already provided.
Thank you, Lord.
Father, forgive us, Lord, of our sins and our transgressions.
Yes, Lord.
Realizing, Lord, the lateness of the hour.
Yes.
And the call to a holy assembly.
Thank you, Jesus.
Father, may you move amongst our midst, Lord God.
Grant it, Lord.
Lord, look into our efforts that we are making, Father.
Grant it, Lord Jesus.
Lord, we come, Lord, because we need more of you.
Yes.
We recognize, Father, this is the last watch.
Yes, Lord.
This you have spoken, Father God, that you will come in the seventh watch.
Jesus.
Lord, there's absolutely no doubt in any one of our hearts you have already descended from heaven with a shout.
Yes, Lord.
Lord, you're proceeding, Father, in the voice of the archangel.
Yes, Lord.
Then, Father, give us ear to hear what the Spirit is saying.
Oh, God.
Give us understanding, Lord God. Lord, truly recognizing as you spoke yesterday, Father. Yes. Showing us, Lord, our shortcomings,
yes,
not
Lord.
Making that contact with
Jesus.
You, Father. Oh, God. Lord, we truly want to make that contact, Father.
Yes, Lord.
We want to make that breakthrough, Father.
Amen.
That's what we are here for, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
And believing, Father, that you are more willing to give us the Holy Ghost than we can
yes,
ever think of,
Lord.
Father.
Hallelujah.
So, Lord, help our humble efforts today.
Amen, Lord.
Shape us, Lord, and mold us, Father.
Grant it, Lord.
Lord, we have seen that you have shaped and molded one, the God in our midst. As a wave sheep offering, Father.
Jesus.
Lord, we see his life, dear God, from a babe until Jesus. You took him away, Father.
Jesus.
And Lord, you want that same dominion in our hearts.
Hallelujah.
Lord, we are healing all that we know, Father. We are surrendering, Father God. We are confessing our sins, dear
Jesus.
God. And Lord, we pray this day
Jesus.
That the bleeding word, oh God, would wash our souls,
God.
Wash our minds,
yes.
Wash our hearts, Father. Yes. And Lord, may we all stand on this rock
yes,
to make
Lord.
That contact, Father, that we can meet
Thank
you by faith.
Jesus.
Lord, remember your servant, Father.
Jesus.
Lord, recognizing, Lord, that he might be tired in body.
Jesus.
But I believe, Lord, that we recognize his effort
Jesus.
As the shepherd of this little flock, Father.
Jesus.
Lord, may you touch him, Lord.
Thank you,
Lord, give him strength in his physical body.
Thank you,
and Lord, may you speak this morning.
Thank you,
oh,
Lord
God.
Oh,
that, Lord, when we all leave here, we shall say it was good to be in the
yes,
house.
Father. Yes,
committing this service to thee, Lord. And we wait upon you with great expectation, Father.
Yes, Lord.
With thanksgiving, Lord, in the precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. We all say praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Amen. Let's just sing, I'm weak, but thou art strong. That's our confession. We want a closer walk with him. Oh, granted, Jesus is my plea, daily walking close to thee. Like Enoch did, amen. He had a testimony to please God. It was translated, number 124 in the Holy Bible books. Amen. I'm weak, but thou art strong. Jesus, keep me from all wrong. Oh, I'll be satisfied. I'll be satisfied as long as I walk. Let me walk close to thee. Oh, just a closer walk, Lord. Just a closer walk with thee. Granted, Jesus is my daily walking close to thee. Daily walking close to thee. Let it be. Amen. Through this world, through this world of thoughts and snares, oh, if I falter, Lord, if I falter, Lord, who cares? Who with me my burden shares? Who with me my burden shares? None but thee, yeah, Lord, none but thee. just a closer walk. Let's all draw nearer to him as we sing it. Just a closer walk with thee. Oh, that's the desire of our hearts. Granted, Jesus is my plea. Daily walking goes to thee. My feeble life is all. Gently, safely, oh. Guide me gently, safely, oh. To the kingdom shore, to the everyone singing out, just a closer.
Just a closer walk.
Oh, that's why we come, Father. Close to thee. Daily walking close to thee. Wonderful name. That's what we all desire today, amen. I just want to sing this little, maybe a couple of verses and the chorus. Where he leads me, I will follow before we change the order of the service. I can hear my Savior calling. Amen. Take up that cross and follow me. Some of us try to walk this journey without bearing that cross and only to find out that it just cannot be done. You just cannot be his real disciple unless we take up that cross. Unless we are willing to walk in the bloody footprints of our Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, it may seem that that's the harder way, but there's a strength inside of there. There's a comfort and there's a peace. Amen. May we never try to walk without carrying that cross, without suffering with him. The Bible says, they who suffer with him will reign with him. Amen. I can hear my Savior calling. Let's make an experience, not just a song this morning, but I believe he's calling us through his word. Is the word calling us for a closer walk, deeper experience, richer life in Christ, more spiritual life in this hour? Amen. More victorious life. Amen. The only way we come is to be crucified with him, really. Nevertheless, not I live, but Christ liveth in me. I'm crucified, Paul says. I die daily. Amen. That's the secret of real overcoming strength. I can hear my Savior calling. I can hear my Savior call. Oh, that's the attitude we want to be in for His service. I can hear my Savior calling. I can hear my Savior calling. Oh, won't you do that this morning, pilgrim? Take that cross. Take that cross and follow me. He's calling. Oh, we are answering where He leads me. That's my confession. That's yours. Leads me out. Will follow. I will follow You, Lord. Where He leads me, I will follow. Where He leads me, I will follow. I'll go with Him. I will go with Him through the garden. Let's sing that. The Garden of Gethsemane. That's where the battle was won. Prayer. Strive, resisting against sin, even to blood. Where He surrendered His will, not my will, but Thou will be done. I'll go with Him through the garden. To be a real Christian, we must go through the garden. I'll go with Him through the garden. I'll go with Him. Everyone singing, oh, where He lead me, I will follow. Where He lead, that's our confession unto Him today. Wherever You lead us, Lord, we will follow. Step of the way. Though it's a harder way, though it's a straight and narrow path, we know at the end there's a huge portion of heaven awaits us. which will make and bring to pass that tremendous victory in the love divine. Divine love that is the Holy Spirit. Glory be to God. Thank you, Jesus. That same love that was upon in that place beyond the curtain of time, he said, will be on the church just before she leaves. Oh, my. That is what we are looking for, to fill every heart overflowing. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to your name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Know it in your Bibles. Ezekiel 36 and St. John 3. One in the Old Testament and one in the New Testament. Amen. Ezekiel 36, verse 24. If I will take you from among the heathen or the nations and gather you out of all countries and will bring you into your own land, then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and you shall be clean from all your filthiness, and from all your idols will I cleanse you. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you an heart of flesh. I will take you out. I will bring you into land. I will sprinkle clean water. From your idols, I will cleanse you. A new heart, I will give you. A new spirit, I will put within you. I will take away the stony heart. I will give you an heart of flesh. You have nothing to do. He will do it. Amen. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes. And you shall keep mine ordinances and do them. That is not a commandment, that's a promise. You will do it. You will walk in my statutes. No matter how the devil tries to stand away, you will walk in it. No matter how the devil tries to pull you away from it, you will walk in it. God will put it inside of you. It'll be I in you and you in me. Amen. I'll be walking inside of you. I didn't bring you out of all them nations and bring you in here and sprinkle all this clean water on you and cleanse you to lose you. No, sir. I'm the author, I'm the finisher of your faith. You just hold the beginning of your confidence steadfast unto the end. Amen. You shall dwell in the land that I give to your fathers, and you shall be my people, and I will be your God. And St. John chapter 3. First doctrine that Jesus ever preached, and especially in the book of St. John, all the way from the beginning to the end, the theme is the Holy Spirit. And St. John 3, we want to begin. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God. For no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto you, absolutely, absolutely, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. And here's the reason why now. He's giving the reason why. That which is born of flesh is flesh. That is the reason. And that which is born of spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto thee, you must be born again. The wind bloweth where it willeth or where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound of it, but canst not tell from where it cometh and where it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, how can these things be? Notice the first question he asked, how can this be, a man be born of water and go back in his mother's womb? Then he's asking again, how can this be again now, when Jesus gave him another illustration? First he uses the illustration of a birth. See? Person being born again, another birth, just like you're born in flesh, there's a birth of spirit. Now he's using another illustration, like the wind. And he says, Jesus answered and said to him, art thou a master of Israel? So notice this man, notice it gives all the qualifications of the man. He was a Pharisee, his name was Nicodemus, he was a ruler of the Jews. It tells the time he came, it showed that Jesus even called him a master of Israel. Man wasn't just an ordinary teacher. Just somebody just from fly by night. He was one of the most recognized. He was one of the most influential ones in his day. A master of Israel. And knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that which we do know, and testify to that which we have seen, and you receive not our witness. If I have told you earthly things, and you believe not, how shall you believe if I tell you heavenly things? And no man had ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man who is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. I'm going to stop right there. May Lord have blessed his word. You may have a seat. You know, I've been speaking the last three services, setting our attitude in order and our mind, and really bringing us to the place where we want to just get our minds in that channel, especially in these services. It could be the theme in these services, just to stay right in that channel and help strengthen the weak places in our lives and build up them that need to be built up and see through to a real experience. They that have need of coming through to a real experience to bring a real birth and a real dying out, that the Holy Spirit can become resident in the life. And you know, as we take these things, study them, think about them, meditate upon them. You know, God is doing something for us, and he's giving us his word, and it's going to come by his word. The Holy Spirit is going to work right through the word. And that's what the Holy Spirit is doing. He's showing us in the word where these things lay, how to approach it, how we can get into it, how we can receive it and benefit from it. And that is what, by the grace of God, we are trusting that God, who is faithful, as we sang this morning, great is thy faithfulness. Yesterday I was saying, Abraham believed it was impossible for God to lie. And in expecting God to give and do for you what he promised, or what you have need of, and believing on him to do for you, it is going to be based on what you think of him. One time in the scripture, Jesus asked him, what think you of Christ? Who is he? It has to be what you think about him. You think God is a liar? You can be disappointed. You think God is carry people, you know, on false promises and disappoint them in the end? Or God is a hard person? He asks people to do things that they cannot keep? Remember one time a man, you know, buried his talent because he said, "Master, you're a hard man." And it just showed he had a wrong relationship because he was seeing the Lord as a hard taskmaster. And it depends on your attitude, and that's what we've been taking, that many times people's attitude to things of God, it hindered them from receiving it. And, you know, these things are so important because one of the first things Jesus also taught from the new birth, he taught the Beatitudes, which is your attitude, what type of attitude you have. And he shows the ones that are blessed of him. Blessed are they who are this. Blessed are they who do this. Blessed are they. And he's showing the type of attitude that people would have to receive that blessing. And, you know, as we emphasize these things, because these services, I said, you know, we, in the other services, we minister generally and, you know, the fullness of the message as best as we have attained to it to be able to impart it to you. But in these services, we're trying to minister on a more personal and on a more individual level where we could spend time on certain things in a more detailed way to really reach that place in the individual's heart that is really seeking God for a closer walk and a deeper experience, and to know beyond a shadow of a doubt that they are sealed with His Holy Spirit and have a real Christ-centered life. And, you know, we started off, and I started off by showing you, you must understand what is it coming for. And I was reading a little quote, and maybe just to keep reading that quote, just so it be in your mind, where, in words, the Holy Ghost says, "Now, the reason I've taken these subjects in line like this, you cannot come and receive the Holy Spirit unless you know what it is." So, in other words, you're not coming to get a sensation. You're not coming just to get a feeling, to be kind of glad you did get a feeling. You come in to know that when you change, you can't be unchanged. You come into that, what you possess is going to take you all the way through and even change this body afterwards. So that's why the first day when I came to take away that anxiety and the little popcorn theory that people get themselves in, boom, something's going to happen and the roof's going to blow off. I said, no, it's you are a dying rot. God is true to His word. See, there's no problem with God. Any problem on anybody receiving the Holy Spirit is because they are at fault. You can't blame the minister unless he's teaching it wrong and putting your mind on the wrong channel, because the minister can't be baptized with the Holy Ghost. Only John said there's one mightier than I. He is the one who can baptize with the Holy Ghost on fire. We get baptized in water. But the ministry of the Holy Spirit is to baptize people with the Holy Spirit. He's the one who do that baptizing. He's going to do the teaching, really. See, and all these things. Because He didn't give that to a man to do. He's the one who gave Abraham the sign of circumcision. He's the sealing angel. There's a message angel and there's the sealing angel. See, He's the one with the ink horn who's going to mark the people in the forehead. So, the thing is, that's why when you could look at God's word squarely, look right into the face of His promises, know that God's word says that. And the one who says that cannot lie. And this very entire population, the earth, and all who have lived before, and all who is going to live and be born into the earth, when that time comes, they are going to be judged by the word of God. God is not going to judge anybody by a church or this or that. He's going to judge them by His word. And God always presents that word to a man in his earthly journey. Like the rich young ruler, there comes a time when he's confronted with the leadership of eternal life. As we sang this morning, "Where you lead me, I'll follow." That's what Jesus told him. Take up your cross and follow me. You want the eternal life? Take up your cross and follow me. He didn't want to follow. He thought the price was too great. You see? And the prophet says, as I told you, you know, you hear him and you read many times where he says, you know, instruct them about the Holy Spirit. Go into the room and instruct them about the Holy Spirit. How to receive it. And many times you may wonder in your mind, I wonder how people, what were the instructions? I wonder if I'm getting the right instructions. Well, I will preach these messages for, to let you know, to instruct you what it is, how to receive it, how to come, what could hinder you from getting it. what result it's going to bring, because it's coming for a purpose. So if it's coming for a purpose, then that purpose manifested would be the evidence. That is why no manifestation cannot be the evidence, because it is given for a specific purpose. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, will lead you and guide you all truth, will bring back things to remembrance, will take of my things and show unto you. That is why he says, in every age, it was he that had an ear to hear what the Spirit was saying. It was he that could receive the word, because the Spirit came to teach. He said, when Nicodemus called Jesus a teacher, he really wasn't teaching. He had come as a sacrifice to die. But the Holy Ghost is going to come to do the teaching. But Jesus told him, I have many things to send to you, and you can't bear them. How be it when he, the Spirit of truth, is come? Another comforter. So that is why the purpose manifested would be the evidence. And then he shows the Holy Ghost is going to make you a co-worker with Christ. Seeking the lost and redemption. He said the churches don't have that burden for the lost no more. Everything is to build a church or have a protracted meeting or you know, get more scholarly and different things. But where he said they don't have that Spirit touching the meetings to hunt the lost. And the first thing the Spirit did in the Garden of Eden when man fell, Adam, where thou? Came looking for the lost. What is the Holy Ghost given for? See, his instructions and dealing with that, we are going to know what we have received. Amen. And, you know, that's why he took these messages like this, and he said, you cannot come and receive it unless you know what it is. And now, don't get mind battered that some of you don't have the Holy Spirit here. I'm not saying that. The thing is, you in teaching of the word, and especially teaching on a certain subject, though you may have the Holy Spirit, you may not be able to fully grasp all of the subject. So, because you have the Holy Spirit, you'll be able to understand better and what you really couldn't put out in words. Because maybe you're not gifted to teach. Then when the word is coming forth, they're going to identify things to you in your life that you had as experience too. So you're going to know, oh yes, I know that. I could be a witness for those things. And then when you see certain things in your life that is not there, that the Spirit's supposed to be doing, and it's not there, then you need to realize to, don't try to bluff it and then make yourself something now that you didn't have. Say, Lord, I have, but maybe I have the measure that these things here, you know, I need to have that too, because your Spirit going to bring that. You understand what I'm saying? So then in the air, you're going to realize, I need more of you, Lord. More of you, God. I want the Spirit to show all of himself, because I don't want to be confused with a gift or an experience I had a time, and then not in the nature of the Holy Spirit. But if you have a gift, you may not see the nature of the Holy Spirit in your life. But the gift may keep operating time and time again. But because the Holy Spirit has a nature, and he's going to dwell within you, when circumstances come, he will act a certain way. He will make you be a certain way. He'll convict you of sin. He may do different things. Your gift may not convict you of sin. That's why a woman can speak in tongues and then cut her hair and say, I ain't get no conviction. But the gift is just to operate, to produce a manifestation. But the nature are not there to make a line up with all the word. All right? So, you know, and then some of you, you know, young coming in, and then some of you being the message long, and you love the Lord long, and it's just that you don't have no real tight post. The soul is not really anchored away, and that don't make you not a child of God, because remember, your real seed was before the foundation of the world, where you've chosen Christ. But the Holy Ghost is going to quicken, have to quicken that. Holy Spirit must come to quicken that to prove you have that. You see, sometimes, you know, you make a statement that says, you're not saved, not by a long ways with the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And then somebody says, well, you know, thank God, you know, is the seed. And then in their mind, they relate the seed and the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And they say, well, you know, that don't mean you're saved, you have the Holy Ghost, but have the seed. But the baptism of the Holy Spirit upon that seed proved there's a seed there. Amen. See? So that's why, see, in these meetings, it's not to sit down and just get too doctrinal about the Holy Spirit either. It is whether you are satisfied. The real motivation is whether you are satisfied that the life you are living is a Spirit-filled life governed by the Holy Spirit in thought and word and deed. That's what we're dealing with. See? So then, it takes in all of us. Whether some people feel they're only sanctified, some people want to be filled, some people need a refilling. But they say, you know, I am filled with the Holy Ghost. But I don't live like I used to longer. I should be on real fire, so read and pray. Yeah, because maybe that follow your feeling. But now you get lukewarm. Maybe now you need another touch. Maybe now you have to go back and have a revival. Like Prophet said, he said, man, I come back for a new burst of faith. Come back for a fresh experience. Because God has given new experiences daily. Maybe we're trying to live on a past experience we had years ago. And maybe not see no real evidence and operation of the Holy Spirit in our life daily. So you see, when we think of it in that way, it takes in all of us. And it's not like this meeting is for this one, for that one. When we're looking at people, we're here for our own selves. Some of us have families, and we find we just don't even seem to handle our family right. Say sometimes in church, oh, we all right in church, sure. We've been preaching, we love the word, we get stimulated by the word. But when nobody preaching to us, to stimulate us, then we all slump down home. Then we put aside in a corner, then we can't fellowship, then, you know, there's no real atmosphere and these things. So then inside of there, we see too, there's a great need. And the Holy Spirit in us, and it says, you out of your faith, you could give virtue. You could strengthen those around you. Then you have knowledge to know the time, to know the season, to know the hour, to know how to deal with people, to know temperance, the self-control. See, to bear with them. See, sometimes you're like, after 2-3 times you try to push, you get fed up and you get so irritable yourself. Man, you throw them out, they saved, they lost, they're a child. Your temperance, to bear with them. Patience to wait upon God. Know that God of your own time, there to wait upon the Lord. Wait, I say, wait on the Lord. See, let patience have its perfect work of your entire wanting nothing. You have need of patience. After you have done the will of God, you shall receive the promise. See? Then godliness. To be like Jesus. Godly life. See? Learn of me. I am meek and lowly in heart. See? Godliness. To be like Jesus. Not having a form of godliness and then denying the power. To be like Jesus Christ. See? How he was, how he walked, how he talked, how he dealt with them. See, then bodily kindness to put yourself in one another place. Thinking on the things of others, bearing one another burdens. See, esteeming each other better than your own self. Sure, forgiving one another. See, praying one for the other. By this shall all men know you are my disciples when you love one another. And then the love of God will cover a multitude of sins. Not going to talk about it, brothers and talk about it, sisters and talk about it, and then saying you have brotherly kindness. No, sir. Love covers a multitude of sins. You'll be praying there with, and you'll get callous knees, praying for them. Sure. You know you have what you say you have. Because you're just saying you have it, you see it manifesting in you, and others see it coming out to you too. Not you saying, I have it, but nobody wrong you ain't seen it. And you can, if you're sincere, you can't sit in your own self, some of you. See? So then, where you have it? You have it maybe it'll lock up in a box somewhere way down inside. There you're going to dig it out and bring it out. But to have it is to display it. To have it is for others to benefit from what you have. Because Jesus cursed a tree that was a tree, but had no fruit. Had a lot of leaves, full of fellowship. But no fruit. See? But if you get people with fellowship, day and night fellowship, explain this, preach it on, weary your mind and all. And then when it manifests a little fruit, can't manifest nothing? Amen. So, he says, then you cannot know whether you got it or not, unless you know what results it brings. So if you know what it is and who it is to, what action it brings when it comes, then you know what you've got when you got it. Amen? And, you know, yesterday also I was speaking about the atonement and you should know how secure these things are. And even as you read the scripture here this morning, I'm going to spend the time, we're going to again pray. But as I says, you know, as Brother Abraham says, you want to teach people to get healing, you preach healing. And that's why I'm doing in these services. I'm not trying to go too deep in the sense that I will go over your head, but I'm trying to stay with it, what little, and open it up as best as the Holy Spirit will allow us to do it, to help you, that it can be in your grasp. And when you get a hold of it, you know, and you hold that word in your heart, and you pray over the word you hold in your heart. Don't hold the word in your heart and you pray over something else. That's what he's giving you the word for. That the word that you receive can be watered by your prayer and your faith, and become fruitful in your life. The word that you're receiving, the word form, could become an experience and a living reality. Abraham had a promise in the word form. God, you're going to have a son. And he held the word. But then one day he held the baby. The word became the baby. But God didn't give him the baby. God gave him the word. But the word became the baby. See? And that's exactly what it is. And the promise here, he says, when you know it is to you. When you know he's going to give it to you. And you know, Jesus here in the scripture, you know, when he was teaching that, he started off, you must be born again. And the prophet says, that's his first doctrine he ever taught. And you know, yesterday we spoke there, and then we had some praying for the people individually, which as often as we feel led to minister in prayer individually to the people, we're going to do it. And the only reason I allow it to go through yesterday for that length of time is because I know many of the people wasn't working, and those who was here could have stayed over. You see, because yesterday being their strike or whatever it was. But normally, if we have that among the people, what we do is we just take some one day and take some the next day so we can keep our commitment and don't get ourselves being worn out and you know, trying to do too much at one time. When these services, we already have our scheduled services. And these services is basically to find the weaker places in the church and really strengthen them. And it's not guessing where the weaker places are, because it is over these years seeing, as I said, through personal ministering to people in interviews, witnessing to them and these things, talking with them with the problems, I get to find out that they don't have what many of them think they have. And many times I make this statement, says many people are not fully the Holy Ghost. And, you know, sometimes, you know, it kind of feel bad. Well, you're going to church all these years. Well, I can't give nobody the Holy Ghost. In that my message, gee, God give that. The people just obey the word. God give the Holy Ghost to them that obey him. You see? So the thing is that you look to see it happen, then some people claim it. And then as they get to a place where they're being tested, you realize it's a little different. And you what happened, they really unsure of themselves then. Because they find themselves in a situation they can't come out of it. And that's why I'm taking these series like that. I took Hebrews and show that one of the mistakes right there was not holding the beginning of your confidence steadfast at the end. People accepting an incomplete work. God, don't do that incomplete. They stopping short of the promise. And he says, let us fear lest there's any of you come short of that promise. Because there's a laboring to enter in into that rest. Amen. And that's why when we come here, whether it's 1 hour, 2 hours we spend, we want to be focused right in to grasp. But we don't want to come here to go through services and routines, because we come here to speak directly to you. You come to receive the word and just believe. See? So that's why we want to have everything, everybody, when you come, you know, you come right in to the meeting. Now, yesterday I noticed I had to ask Brother Collar to ask some of the people to keep in prayer. People just sit in the seats after a while. We don't want that. That don't help nobody. When you finish, if you had to sit down and spectate, you leave and go home. You get your portion already. These are people that need deliverance. We're not religious coming to have meetings. We come to help. When you sit down there, you get back and you keep praying in your heart. My prayer didn't make it a finished work right there. I agree together with you with what faith you have in God promise. You know what I'm saying? And then you stay there and you pray to one another. You keep reverent. That people don't receive. They don't understand. But I'm saying, he said, get reverent. Just you know, Lord, you know, my brother dear, and I see him in the line this morning. And Lord, I know it's something. And, you know, then apart from him, Lord, let me know when he gets strengthened, the church gets a little more strengthened. Lord, when that sister gets delivered, the church gets a little more delivered. Because the church is backward because people need deliverance in the church. And Lord, what the minister talking about, I know I ain't have for that. I can't say that is me he talking about there. I'm the living manifested word. I've seen things in my life that I have need of. So you get there and you really get praying. And then when you get it, you go home and you fellowship on it. And in your time, you read over the word and say, Lord, I hear it read today, but I want it to be revealed inside of me. I don't just want to say, what's the next lesson now? And just have a piece of paper where I mark down a scripture so-and-so date. Cookie. You know? I want to understand the scripture, Lord. If the Holy Spirit bring it out there, it's something there. I want to get it. Am I stopping short? Am I provoking you, Lord? Am I being hardened? Am I hardened, Lord? Because I really think, you know, I don't feel for people that I should. I can't envy the people that I should. To me, I could just try to give a prayer of faith. But when I see somebody come sick and poor and suffering, do I really see for myself there? Am I so mellow enough? Lord, I need a little more compassion in my life. Lord, I realize maybe I'm living closer as I should. You see? And, you know, be mentally alert in your spiritual life. Is your revelation of Christ does make you see more that you need to grow more. If you see Christ is just a little better than you, well, then you're almost like Jesus. So you say, I and my Father is one, man, praise God. See? But as Paul, as I showed you yesterday, I'm the least of the apostles. Then he said, I'm the least of saints. Then years after, he said, I'm the chiefest of sinners. His revelation of his unworthiness, his sinlessness. And that's why the more man goes in Christ, the more humble he gets. And that's why the more God, a man grows, God can use him greater because he's more available to God. He's dying out more. But how is he dying out? He's becoming more conscious of that work. Everything lays in that work on the cross. And many people they fail to realize that no matter what word you read here in this Bible, it's tied to the work on the cross. And if I could get your fix right in there, we're going to really strike that. Now, as we go along, I'm going to be taking this maybe in more than one part, this St. John 3, because Jesus uses three illustrations, a birth, the wind, and the brazen serpent, to teach about the new birth. And Jesus, I was thinking, as if Jesus was teaching about the new birth, and the first doctrine he ever taught was the new birth, because the new birth was spoken in Ezekiel 36, that's where it comes from. And Ezekiel talked about a new heart and a new spirit. And God going to, and when they get that new heart and that new spirit, and God put his spirit in them, how they will walk in his statutes. How he'll be their God and they'll be his people. So that was a prophecy in the Old Testament. And when Jesus came, he came to make the Holy Ghost available. He came to bring the new birth because he was born different and he was the beginner of the creation of God. He was the author of the new creation. He was the beginning of that new creation, and we are the continuation of that new creation. For any man in Christ becomes a new creature. You understand that? I want you to understand that, you know. Because this is the foundational blocks that people have tried to grab at things and think they have it because they didn't come the way. But watch. So when Jesus came, he came to. He had the Son had life. He is eternal life. He was the one going to come to bring the new birth. And that's why he was born different to the way we were born. And that's why in him dwelleth the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And the first thing he taught was you must be born again. The last thing is go and tarry and you shall be endued power from on high. Is that right? Sure. And so then when we look at that then if he, the fullness of eternal life, could look in the Bible and pick up that mystery that the Jews and them had religion. They were so holy. I mean, we couldn't even touch them. Some of us don't get stolen and killed if you're living back there in that time. And when Jesus was teaching this, he wasn't teaching this to a gambler. He wasn't teaching this to a heathen or a man who don't go to church. He was teaching this to a Pharisee of the Pharisees. A master of Israel. He was teaching that to a man, a ruler of the Jews, a rabbi, a man that belonged to the great Sanhedrin. One of the religious leaders of his day. We're talking to a lady member alone. He was talking to the religious leader of the day. See? And as a Jew, if you read Romans 9 and Romans 2, Romans 2, Paul explains how a Jew is a Jew inwardly understanding the mystery of the new birth. That all Israel is not Israel. But Romans 9 tell you that all the covenants, all the ordinances, all the statutes, all the feasts, all the adoption, all the things, it belonged to who? Israel. Because he's an Israelite. And here's a man who had the birthright. Here's a man who born in a special line to be a priest and these things. Here's a man special called a seed of Abraham who was chosen by God and given all the covenants and these things. Jesus was telling him that all these privileges you have, all these things do not entitle you to a place in the kingdom of God. It was a shocking experience. Because that was the qualification. And this man said, no. He says, all of that is good. But there's something else more than that. He says, you must be born again. And notice in St. John 3, 14, he says that Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Let me tell you, if the Son of Man is not lifted up, you cannot be born again. And the only reason you must be born again is because the Son of Man must be lifted up. Three things he was teaching him. Because, and in St. John 12 it says, this he spake, signifying what death he would die. And Jesus, watch something about Jesus in teaching them about a new birth. He goes to Ezekiel and he started with a new birth. Then the next place Jesus went, he went into Numbers with Moses and the brazen serpent. Now if Jesus was taking certain scriptures, then that is the way to pass. Because he had the new birth. He had the true birth. He had born of spirit. He wasn't born by the will of man or by the flesh. He was born by the will of God. He's the one that could conquer it. He's the one that could please the Father. And because he had it, he could teach it. And his life proved he pleased the Father. And he did those things, and he knew those things that the natural man couldn't have. And notice he says two things here. First, if a man don't have that birth, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And if a man is born of water and spirit, he can't enter into the kingdom of God. No wonder he's when a man come to receive it, he had to be taught these things. So you can really know you receive those things. And to really see it, to live in it and take your place in it. This great kingdom, this Messiah kingdom, this mystical body, to become part of it, to become one of them branches that the life of the vine is flowing through you. You become an agent of the Holy Spirit that you can operate through to fulfill his purpose, to make you invisibly united with him. Amen. Then, what is going to happen? He says that you would have to be able to see it. And the only way to see it, you have to be born that way. And be part of it to receive that eternal life. By one spirit, we are all baptized into one body. That's what Paul was teaching too. So when you see all those things that Paul and they taught it from this doctrine right here that Jesus taught. You must be born again. But Jesus is the one. Now, Moses never taught it. Abraham never taught it. They could not teach it. It took Jesus to teach it. Because he's the one who had that birth. They were all born wrong. And to every Christian, the same must come to Calvary, a must have a St. John 3. We all have to meet him on the rooftop. We all have to hear them words echoing our hearts. You must be born again. Marvel not, I say unto you. See? And, you know, he gave the reason in St. John 3:6 why a man cannot see or why a man cannot enter the kingdom of God. He said because he that is born of flesh is flesh. So in other words, he's saying there is something about that first birth there that we must see. We must understand that. And I want to get to a place where I could really strike that for the next 5 minutes and close. Because what is going to happen right inside of there is I'm giving you these things that when you could hold that word in your hand and pray over it and see the line through which that new birth comes in reality, and there's a real dying out because you have to see what is inside of you. No man like to really see himself judged. No man like to see himself cursed. But you see, our first birth was wrong. And, you know, when Jesus was speaking that here to Nicodemus, and he was telling him, he says, he that is born of flesh is flesh, and he that is born of spirit is spirit. So right here, Jesus was teaching there is two distinct lines. There's a spirit line and there's a flesh line. And those two lines of what should I say, generation. That's why the new birth is called regeneration. Because you see, it's genes, it's a birth, come by a birth. And the natural genes bring a natural birth. And that natural birth puts you in a natural line. And that natural birth sets you thinking a certain way. It sets your desires a certain way. It sets your makeup a certain way. That's why the Bible says, you're born in sin. He's born of flesh, is flesh. You walk after the course of this world. Not that a man put a gun and say, walk after the course of this world. Your birth gives you a nature, and that nature sets you that way. And that's why you don't have to preach the law and say, you have to serve God or else you go to hell. No, it don't come so. Because that new birth gives you a nature that sets you that way too. You walk after the Spirit. And there's some people right in the middle there. You have to drive them to do things. And once you'll be driven to do things, and it's not the Spirit motivating to do those things, something is wrong. See, something is wrong. And, you know, he says, there's a natural man and a spiritual man. And I want to just maybe go with you through the scriptures quickly so we can see what all of the Bible says about the natural man, the man that's born of flesh. And you will see, we all will see what inside of us that we can't deny it inside of, because Jesus said it's inside of there. God, the Word. And we'll be trying to make the Word a liar to say we don't have it if the Word says we have it. It's there. You see that birth? I say, you don't have to teach a child to lie and steal and curse and have fear and pride and all them anger and all them things. Child born in a temple like a bus. So you see, but I see my little boy, the Jonah, I tell you. See the one minute coming in the car and he's singing, praise, I want to praise him. And you know, you feel really nice, and then you go home and you take away his bottle or something, his cup, and he can get on. But he's down about that. You know, throw himself and make a noise and jump up and down. So, and the anger doing that, you know, the amount of a temper inside of there. And you don't sit in little babies alone. You sit in big people. They can't get what they want. They fix the blue. But it's just that they're more educated and they know they have more guile. So they don't have to hide and be more deceptive in doing what they want. And they don't get a cold shoulder and the fierce look and all these things. They don't beat up and go into spasms. But they have it. It's the same thing. See? One minute you're praising God, next minute something else. You go in church, we got a revival, you go and get blue next time. I tell you. Ephesians 4:18, quickly. He that born of flesh. No, keep in line the thoughts. He that no man cannot see and no man cannot enter. The reason why? He's born of flesh. Don't try to get in a flesh man in at all. Don't try. He can't see it. Somebody say, but I can't get it. I can't see it. I can't understand it. That's the problem right here. You need the inside teacher. Somebody read that for me. Ephesians 4:18. Read 17 and 18. Anybody, just read. Read 19 also. Okay, notice this. One of the outstanding things here is having the understanding darkened. Natural man, the unregenerate man, his understanding is darkened, is alienated from the life of God. Through what? The ignorance that is in him. See that? Are you understanding darkened? Someone read 1 Corinthians 2 for me, 14. 14 and 15. Sisters could read to her. Don't feel, just read. Just I want you to take part in it, and I want, you know, in this little meeting here, we all understand these things. 1 Corinthians 2:14. But the natural Verse 15. Okay, here them two men again, the natural man, the spiritual man. What is it about the natural man again? Apart from ignorance in him, alien from the life of God, his understanding darkened, he cannot receive the things of the Spirit of God because they are foolishness. What is them things? Them things is mysteries, the word. Because the Holy Ghost will teach you all things. See, I have many things to say unto you. The Spirit of God is the deep things of God. Elijah will restore all things. Things is the word, the mysteries. See, he can't receive them because they are what? Spiritually discerned. Somebody read for me Ephesians 2 verse 3. Ephesians 2 verse 3. Amen. Not only natural man, you're a child of wrath by nature. It unfolds him a little more to know why he's dealing with it. Why his understanding is dark and why the ignorance is there. He's a child of wrath by nature. Romans 8, 5 to 8. Romans 8, 5 to 8. But God commended his love towards us. No, Romans 8, 5 to 8. Amen. They that are in the flesh cannot please God. They can't be subject to God. There's enmity against God. The natural man. See? It's in Mark 7, verse 21 and 22. Maybe we can read from verse 20. 20 to 22 is in Mark chapter 7. Jesus was speaking here. Come about a week's read. Verse 20 to 22. Amen. Here it is, the one who had come to bring the new birth, to bring the man from the natural state to a spiritual man by the new birth, begin to show what is in the heart of man, why the man needs to be born again. He said it comes within the man. Ephesians 2:1. Amen. That natural man there is dead, spiritually dead in sins and trespasses. That nature, alienated from God, ignorant, can't be subject to God, inside what kind of evil eye and anger and pride and jealousy and all the murders and adulteries and all the things, evil thoughts, that he is actually dead in sins and trespasses. That's the condition. He could be wearing a three-piece suit with the best shoes and driving the best car and, you know, maybe eating somewhere up there in a Holiday Inn or something and with the celebrities of the nation. That's what he is. He's not born again. Because remember, up to now he didn't say he can't be cultured. Up to now he didn't say he couldn't be refined. Up to now he didn't say he couldn't be educated. Up to now he didn't say he couldn't be a very sociable. See? He could be all those things, but this is what he is. We all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Amen. Romans 7:18. Amen. I think you read the right one. See? There is no good thing that dwelleth in that natural man. Is it? Is I can't find it? You can find any? You can't make the word a lie, you know. He said there dwelleth no good thing. Let's take one or two in the Old Testament now. Psalms 51, verse 5. You see, these things come out of the Old Testament. Because that was the Bible they had in that day. Now that's the cause right there. They go right back to show where it was. See? Shaped in iniquity and conceived in sin. The very birth, the very way it's come, is what is wrong. Amen? Jeremiah 17:9. Amen. That heart of that man is deceitful above all things, desperately wicked. And I'm going to read the last one. Jeremiah 13:23. Can the Ethiopian change his skin or the leopard his spots? Then may you also do good that are accustomed to evil. So notice, all these scriptures showing, also in Job 14, where Job says, who could bring a clean thing out of an unclean? All right? Man recognizing his condition from his birth. And here, throughout the scriptures, we could go on and pick up many more scriptures like that. But to show that in all this description that God gave the natural man, he never said that he couldn't be refined or cultured or sociable or these things. And that's not what God is talking about. If that man is not born again, like Jesus told Nicodemus, a priest, a scholar, a learned man, a church-going man, a man who teach people, a man who is respected and stands as an example, he said, but you must be born again. Do marvel, I said unto you. Amen. So, our time is up for this. So, we just want to take a little time to pray. But I thought that in setting your heart and your mind in the channel for these things, I must show you first what is that natural man, what the Bible says it is, what the Bible says that man has to die to, what have to rot away and die. What is the condition of that man? That man, what is the reason he cannot see nor even enter into the kingdom? See? And to see every one of us, that's where we start, in that condition right there. Then which one of us was good that we was not that way? Look what was in the heart. Look what Jesus himself said comes out of the heart of man. The word, who is the discerner and the thoughts and intents of the heart. Look at what he's called. We should take time to read some of those things over in a better way when you go home. those scriptures and see. And then you realize, do you want to polish up the old nature? Do you want to put a religious air to him, make him a little more cultured, a little more educated, a little more sociable? Or do you realize that that man there could never please God? He's going to be a disgrace to God. That man going to be a hindrance to the church of God. That man going to be a stumbling block to the work of God. That man will not be able to fit in or carry out the will of God. And the Holy Ghost is given for a definite purpose. And that man would have to come subject to the will of God. And that nature that makes that man dead to the things of God and can't discern the things of God, can't understand the things of God, ignorant to the things of God, can't be subject to the things of God. Oh, he may go along, may obey quite a lot of the commandments in the word that he can do through, you know, his own self-will. Bring himself subject to a lot of things and discipline himself. Like you get many people who will drink and who will smoke and they live a morally upright life. But the world is saying that nature, because the birth in sin and iniquity, you was conceived, you are shaped. See? And come forth to the woman who could bring a clean thing out of unclean. But God is saying, I'm going to bring you out. And I'm going to sprinkle it with water. And that's the water Jesus is talking about, which Paul explains what that water is the washing of the water of the word. And Peter talks about it. He says, being born again of an incorruptible seed, but the incorruptible seed. And he begins to teach more on what Jesus said about that new birth, being born again. And that's why, unless we don't understand those things, then many of us will realize we really need to line up there with that word and come to a place. But first of all, we can see from a reflection of this word what the natural man is and why the natural man is enmity with God. The word, why he cannot be subject to the word and why he's carnally minded and he cannot understand the word. Like Jesus says, I go to raise Lazarus, he's saying something else. You know, he don't live, they don't know what he's saying. And it just shows that they couldn't understand in that frame of mind that they were in until the Spirit had come in to teach them. When the Spirit came in there, they went back in the Bible and they took this one and said, this is what Joel says here. They begin to see and identify those things in their own life. So we're going to take this little time for prayer, but just to show you that in your heart, don't just maybe jump down to the, if you want, but I mean if you feel led already and you're already in your heart being speaking to you, but just wait there a little bit and, you know, let him know what you come to him for. And just get your heart and your attitude set right there in his word as I try to show it to you. And you're going to push him by the way, yes, Lord, that's your word. Your word is true. Your word says that. Maybe I never saw it. Somebody myself. Maybe I never even see myself in that condition. And when I thought I was a sinner, I never see I was all that as a sinner. Maybe I accept Calvary and I never see it was all that. Why you had to die, because that is the condition of the heart of man. That is the natural man right there. Maybe I always felt better if I had a better suit of clothes on. If I drive a better car, if I had more money in the pocket, I always felt better. But I never looked to see if your spirit is to really make me better. See, make me anew. And really come before him by his word. And you see that, Lord, that life could never please you. I don't want a spirit that is in enmity with you. I don't want a spirit that can be subject to your will. I don't want a life alien from you, darkened through ignorance, can't discern the things of God. I don't want a heart with deceit and pretense and guile and hypocrisy and all these. I don't want a heart with that. Ambition, no. I don't want a heart with evil thoughts in the mind holy and lust and adulteries. And all. I don't want that. Lord, that water you talk about there, I want you to wash me that water. I want you to sprinkle me and make me clean. That new heart, Lord, that new spirit. And you're going to put your spirit inside that new spirit. If you say that, Lord, I read in your word this morning, then I know you don't lie. Your word is true. Then that will make me subject to your will. That will make me quicken and raise up in heavenly places. That will make me be able to receive the things of God. That will make me a co-worker with you. That's where my ambition lies. You know what I'm saying? Pray right. Pray right in line with his word. Pray right in line with your need here. Let the word just set your heart and set your attitude and set your spirit in that place where you can approach him on the basis of his word, because he is obligated to his word. It's because he said that you could ask for it and you could stand there and say, Lord, I would not be denied. You said it in your word and I'm believing it, Lord. And if I'm not really meeting everything, just show me. Because I'm dead sincere, I'm willing to meet that, whatever it is. Amen? Let's just stand. I want to live the way he wants me to live. We sing a little chorus and then we go to praying. Oh, half an hour we have. Promise me one thing when you go back home, maybe later tonight when you have time, you sit there and you read over the scriptures and you think about them. Not just tell me the cash, but prayerfully before the Lord. You can really move in your heart and your life. Because you're ordained to go and you're going to go. But there's a process and there's a way to remove everything to hinder you. And the one who can do it, who's the author and the finisher, is here to do it. And he will not fail us.
I could never outlove my Lord.
Oh, let the purpose out in our hearts to be that I want to live.
I want to live the way he wants me. I want to give until there's just no more to give. I want to love till there's just no more.
I could never
outlove my Lord.
Amen. If you go on to pray, real sincere prayer with faith, and you feel you just can't seem to get through, you want to go to one of your sisters, one of your brothers, really with the Holy Spirit, and ask them to pray with me, brother. Pray with me, sister. All I'll be all right. That would be outside the will of the Holy Spirit. Just do me formal. Just be free. Just be humble. Don't just maybe go down the end. All blocked up. Say, I really want the Holy Ghost. I want you to pray with me. Pray with me and help me. Whatever. Or maybe it has your heart already conditioned to talk with him. Amen.
That
in the secret of his presence, that's where it's going to happen. Don't just let it be here, be in your home. You have that little place you can just steal away, you have a little time you can take, set yourself aside, get your loved ones with you, get together in one mind. There's the hour for these things to happen. The Holy Spirit who begin the work, we'll perform it even until that day. You just keep surrendering your heart. Say, Lord, I trust you. I believe you. I just want to follow you, Lord. Whatever it takes. I'm starting with Jesus and I'm going through. Amen. That's the way it is. And he will see you through. Amen. He promised to do it. He will never leave you nor forsake you. But he'll be with you and in you even until the end.
Secret of your presence, behold.